Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 7 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater, program 281 in the series. It is May 6, 2018, and to my right is the scintillating Lisa Wolf.
Hi, Carl.
Somebody said vivacious.
Well, people have been complaining that you continue to use the word vivacious and said,
but you are
and
vivacious.
Said, you know what, get a thesaurus.
Yeah.
So I bought a thesaurus, and this is what he's come up with. A thesaurus.
Well, scintillating is, it could be the same thing.
It's named after me.
What
thesaurus?
Is?
Roger's.
Oh, yeah, the Roger's.
No, that's not the one
I bought. Oh, well,
I bought the Macmillan.
Yeah,
nope.
So
no royalties.
So we had a few complaints that I say vivacious every week. Isn't there another adjective that would describe Lisa? Yes, there are, but I don't want to say those on the air.
Ebullient. Try that.
He doesn't know what it
ebullient.
Means, so it won't work.
I got to look it up.
That's what I'm saying.
Ebullient. I don't know if ebullient. I've ever heard that word.
I believe that.
Ebullient.
I'll buy him a dictionary next
week.
Okay. All right.
You got a computer.
Well, we do have the scintillating Lisa Wolf to my right. We have Shante Garth in the booth. And Roger Wilco up there.
There you go.
Esmeralda
He's
Leon.
Our man.
Esmeralda Leon in the traffic hut. And we have some wonderful classic radio shows for you all the way till 2 a.m. We have Escape. And then it's Burns and Allen and Casey, crime photographer. So don't miss all the classic radio coming your way. But right now it's time for Cat's Pride. Crack the quote. What's the movie, Lisa?
The movie is Monty Python and the Holy Grail, 1975.
I
know you do.
I got this.
I know.
No problem.
Roger, you're in it.
All right. What
I'm
do they win?
In it to win it.
That's right.
What do they win?
They are going to win two tickets to see Forever Plaid, which is playing at Theater at the Center in Munster, Indiana.
All right. The number to call right now, 312-981-7200. Dial us up, 312-981-7200. We'll take the 10th caller. We'll play the game live on the air. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
All right, we have Patty on the line tonight. Hey, Patty.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm fine. I'm so excited.
Good. We're excited to have you. The movie is Monty Python and the Holy Grail. We've got three quotes. Your only job is to tell me which one is actually from the movie. And Carl is so certain he's going to know the right answer.
Hi, Patty.
He's bouncing out of his chair.
We're gonna do this.
All right. Let's me and you.
All right.
Let's make it happen.
Let's do this. Quote number one.
Roger, two.
You have proved yourself worthy. Will you join me? Number two. The voice of the majority is no proof of justice. Will you join me? Number three, do you strive to be worthy of kindness or recognition?
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Those are kind of mundane quotes from the
that's
movie.
That's what you ask for.
Oh, my God.
Just remember, it's only a flesh wound.
Yeah.
You know what? Patty's a winner either way. So
right,
what do you
I'm
think?
I'm going to go with number one.
Did I?
I am, too. That's what I was thinking.
You like number one?
Yeah.
All right, Carl?
It's the one I was going to pick,
number
too.
Number one?
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
what is
hear it?
So you should say it first.
No, I'm not going to say it. I'm going to let her play it. Oh, you want to know what number one is?
Yeah, you should say it. So then, when she
number
plays it.
Number one is you have proved yourself worthy. Will you join
will
me?
Will you join me?
Okay.
Yeah. You have proved yourself worthy. Will you join me?
Ding, 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 ding.
All right.
Patty.
Everybody is a winner. Roger, I'm impressed.
Wow.
Carl,
Thank you very much.
But Patty, you're the winner. You've won two tickets to Forever Plaid. It's playing right now, Theater at the Center in Munster, Indiana, playing through June 3rd. It's a great show. It's a great theater. I hope you enjoy it. You can check it out. For more information or tickets, go to theateratthecenter.com. Thank you so much for calling. You did great.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. I'm so excited that I got on the line.
Oh,
thank
good.
You.
Way to
Take
go,
care.
Patty. Thanks a lot. All right, she's a big winner. She's going to see a play.
Which one?
It's something about Plaid.
That's the one.
Plaid.
Yeah.
It's Plaid something.
Plaid.
At Theater in the Round.
Theater Around. Yeah, it's Plaid Shoes at Theater in the Round.
That's what I thought.
That's the one.
Okay, we have a text in line, 312-981-7200. We love getting your texts. It gives us something to do while the classic radio shows
or
are
me,
on.
Or me, at least.
Lisa reads them to me. So
I do. Carl has a little trouble, so I read aloud.
You know. Listen.
It's okay. We all have our strengths.
Reading's not my strong
point. And weaknesses.
312-981-7200. Text us. We love it. All right. Well, how about Escape? Want to listen to Escape?
Yes, I do.
Radio's greatest series of high adventure came to radio in 1947, lasted seven seasons, and it had all kinds of great actors on it. Mostly, they weren't like superstars, but they were, you know, they weren't movie stars on Escape for the most part, but it had people like William Conrad, Harry Bartell, Joseph Kearns, Ben Wright, kind of your radio's row of supporting players, and just a great series, very much like Suspense. Yeah. So we have an episode called The Target. This stars Edgar Barrier from September 18th, 1954. Here's part one of Escape.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape.
Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
You stare down from the height of your plane, and your brain keeps whispering, it's Masafuera, that's all it is. Just an island 300 miles off the coast of Chile. But both you and the beautiful girl beside you know it's more than that. It's the last stop, the last time around, a death trap from which there is no escape.
Listen now as Escape brings you Tony Barrett's story, The Target.
The drink, senor. You see how quick?
Another one of your talents. You can make like a waiter when necessary, huh?
In Chile, senor, a man does many things to live. Yeah. The waiter was busy, so I got the drinks. It's not a reason for anger.
All right, Pepe. All right, forget it.
You are angry.
Look, let's not play games. He's an hour late now. Where is he?
Perez? He will be here. I watch with great care. He has not come in yet. Trust me, senor.
I haven't got much choice, have I? Is being late, is that part of the build-up, part of the sale?
You demand promptness in informers, senor?
You ought to be used to it by now, huh? You never get used to it. Because you want something. An assurance that this time you're buying the right thing. The magic word.
Senor.
The whereabouts of Arthur Madsen. And you fall for it every time. And move on to where the whispered word's said to go. Caracas and Lima. Cochabamba.
And now, Taltan?
Taltan. Sit in one more crummy little bar. Wait for one more sly little man with a word for sale.
How long you search for him, this Arthur Madsen?
A year. You watching that door? You sure Perez hasn't come in? You sure you know him?
I know Perez, senor. Why don't you relax yourself, senor? Think of something of more pleasantness.
Like what?
Like the lady of great beauty in the next booth. From your country, is she not, senor?
Yeah, way off base.
Okay?
A joint like this, she must be out of her mind. That's fine. All we need now is a beef. Go see what it's all about, Pepe.
See, I'll be right back. Senor. Senor Kennedy, come here quickly.
Pepe, what is it?
Look, senor. There on the floor. Is he dead, senor?
What do you think? That knife's got him pinned to the floor.
I'm sorry for your sake, senor.
What are you talking about?
The dead one. He is the one you are waiting for. He is Barris.
Barris? Another blank. Another dead end.
What is it? What happened?
Forget it.
I've got to see.
You wouldn't want to. It used to be a man named Perez.
Listen, get me out of here now. Please, I can't be found here.
Relax. It's a killing. You want a drink?
I've got to get out, please.
Pepe, wait here for me. Come on, lady. Stay close to me. There's a cab.
Aren't you coming?
No, you'll be all right. Cops will be here in a few minutes. A lot of questions. They'll want answers.
Tell the driver Cuevas Hotel.
Carretera. Viene la señorita al Hotel Cuevas. I'm at the Royale. Call me in an hour.
Who will I ask for?
Kennedy. Vic Kennedy. My turn.
Eve. Eve Coleman.
You'll call?
In an hour.
She was lovely, senor.
Yeah.
What will you say if the police ask about her?
That she didn't like blood.
Bueno.
Come on, Pepe. You know what the deal will be. The cops will come, they'll see, they'll ask questions. And it'll end in drinks for everyone.
Because life here is cheap, no?
I didn't make it that way. Come on, I'll buy you a drink. We'll drink to Perez.
He was an informer, senor.
You always drink to a dead man. Even if you wouldn't give him the time of day while he was alive.
If you say so, senor.
I say.
You are an unhappy man, senor. I'm sorry for that.
Yeah, I'm an unhappy man.
Once in your room, you will sleep, senor.
I told you I want to talk. Come on.
Buenas noches, senor Kennedy.
Good evening. Any messages for me?
No, senor.
You sure? No phone calls?
No, senor. I am sorry.
Get me Miss Eve Coleman at the Hotel Cuevas.
Of course. You take it in your room, senor.
I'll take it here.
Momentito,
senor. You sure you don't want...
Stick around, baby.
Hola, por favor, la señorita Coleman está aquí? Señor Kennedy, you said señorita Eve Coleman?
That's what I said.
La señorita Coleman, gracias. I am sorry, señor, but there is no one registered there by that name. Señor?
All right, forget it.
The lovely one who did not like blood?
Yeah. This ain't my day.
Senor, why didn't
you... I told you I didn't want to sleep. I want to talk.
Well. Do come in, dear boy, do. Surprise?
Yeah. I was under the impression this was my room.
That's not much of a greeting for a man who's come all the way from Hartford just to see you. You're getting all your manners, Kennedy?
This is Pepe Galvan. Mr. O'Brien, Pepe, chief claims man of the company that puts clothes on my back. Be nice to him. He's a big man.
I think I better...
Come on, Pepe. Social call, O'Brien. Come 2,000 miles just to see me. You're spending company money.
Well, we've plenty of it, dear boy. Even after pouring your expenses down the drain. Considerable expenses, I'd say. Sit down.
You can take me off at any time you like. You got a better man? Put him on it.
Oh, no, dear boy. Temper, temper, temper. Wouldn't be fair to you, would it, Kennedy? After all, Arthur Matson was in your custody when he escaped with his bank's $100,000.
You come all this way, just tell me that.
They have a new idea back home, Kennedy. That perhaps you're not trying too hard to find Arthur Matson. That from your point of view, it might be just the thing you don't want to do. I make myself clear?
You don't have to fire me, O'Brien. I quit right now.
Oh, don't be an idiot, Kennedy. You could tell them they were right. You'd never get another insurance job as long as you live. You know Santiago, Kennedy?
The boat's still run. I can get there. Why?
Well, they didn't come down here just to fight with you. You got one last chance. Now, listen to me. Masa Fuera is an island 300 miles off Santiago.
I know where it is, sir.
A return on an office wanted describes an American living there. The description fits Arthur Matson. You hear me?
I heard you. Now, take a look.
Do, dear boy, do, huh? And I'll tell them back in Hartford that you're still trying. Bye, dear boy. Bye.
Pepe, you really know Santiago?
Si, senor.
You still got a job. Get down the docks. Get passage for both of us for tomorrow.
Si, senor. It's a 3-day trip, you know, on a fruit boat.
I'd have to make this one if it was a rowboat. Pick me up in the morning.
The cabin is not so bad, senor. You wish to...
No, I'll go out on deck for a while. You unpack.
Si, senor. I do that.
I never even said thanks, did I, Vic? Vic? You're angry.
No.
You're angry. You helped a girl who never said thanks.
And never called. Why? Was it too much trouble?
Poor Vic. Sweet Vic.
Pigeon Vic. Si, senor, this is a Hotel Cuevas. No, senor, is no lady here by name of Eve Coleman. Sorry. Now, why? A joke? A whim? What?
Not a whim.
I want an answer.
It's too long a story. Vic. Sweet Vic.
I got the time.
We got the time. You're wasting it. You're wasting. You talk too much, you know that?
Yeah. Bad habit. Let's go sit down. I'll set up these deck chairs. Here you are. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Deck chairs should always touch. Closer, darling.
Better?
You know, someday somebody's going to get smart and make a deck chair for two. You're quiet.
It's the setup. To sit with a girl like you, to look out at places with names like Antofagasta, Caldera. You could get to like it.
Yes.
Eve.
Yes?
Eve, the way you ran out on me in Taltan. Now you're here.
Ah, questions. I can see them coming.
Where are you going?
To get dressed. I'll see you at dinner, darling. You'll be pleased.
Senor?
Sit down, Pepe.
You look like a man who is in love, but is not happy about it. Something wrong, senor?
Old habit. Occupational hazard. You always add. If 2 and 2 don't come up 4, it's bad. If it comes 4 too easy, bad again.
Si, senor.
I want you to get a radiogram off for me to Hartford, Connecticut, to an insurance company.
Thank you.
Oh, that's some dramatic music right there, Lisa. You hear that?
You're dramatic, Carl.
It was like,
I'm always sitting next to drama.
Bom, bom, bom.
You are drama.
That's the first portion of The Target, starring Edgar Barrier with William Conrad as the voice of escape from 1954. We'll have more of that after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
I want to remind all of our listeners about the free app that I developed. It's a classic radio app. It is available to all of our listeners, absolutely free. All you have to do is go to our website, WGNRadioTheater.com. There is a banner for this app, and you can just click it and go to the Google Store or the Apple Store and download the app free of charge. And on the app, you get 10 free classic radio shows. And I know Lisa has it.
I do. And I know...
Yeah, Curtis.
Curtis has it, exactly.
I wonder if Roger's downloaded it, yes.
Yeah, Roger's got it.
He's got it? Okay. Yeah. So, folks, do check it out. Just go to our website, WGNRadioTheater.com, and look for the banner for our classic radio app, and do download it to your smartphone. I think you will enjoy it, right?
I think so,
are you cracking your knuckles over
there? I did.
Wow.
Just the one.
Crack your, just one knuckle?
Just one knuckle. Just it
one
felt
out of
like
10?
It needed to.
Do you
to
crack,
crack
all of your knuckles?
No, just the one that needed it
you
at that moment.
You only crack one knuckle?
I don't just crack them.
I know,
it just,
but you
I felt the need
occasionally
at that moment.
Crack all of them?
No, only the ones that needed it at the moment.
Oh, my gosh. Folks, she's difficult, isn't she?
That's not difficult.
Try to pull information out of her.
No, I'm being clear.
Okay,
I don't just go across
question.
All the knuckles.
I understand. But if... At any time, if you cracked all 10 of your knuckles, like if they needed it?
Not at one time. No.
Okay. She's avoiding my question, I
not
think.
Not at one time.
She's trying to be difficult.
No, I'm being clear.
You know, men are from Mars and women are from Venus.
I've heard
that. You know that?
I've heard
it's
that.
It's so true, isn't it? Like if she
I
said
think
to
you're
me,
just
do you crack
difficult.
Your knuckles? I'd be like, yeah, I crack my knuckles, all of them, all the
no,
time.
You said you crack all of them, and
no,
I said
know.
No.
But have you cracked every single knuckle at some point in your life? That's what I'm asking.
I would guess yes.
Hey, I got the answer out of
but
her.
But I still hesitated on it because I would not
do
them all
the
at one time.
I got the answer out of her.
I'm careful.
And you got your WGN Radio Theater sweatshirt on?
I sure
very
do.
Very fetching on you, Lisa.
Thank you. I feel very special wearing it.
All right, let's get back now to Escape.
What is it, Vic?
Nothing.
Ah, nothing, the man says, just like that. And his eyes narrow and his lips tighten and he wonders how to begin. And when I ask him, what does he say? Nothing. That's what he says. And he fingers a sheet of paper in his pocket, hopes I don't notice it.
Very pretty. You're good with words.
Vic.
I got a present for you. A new set of words, and they hurt.
Vic, please.
Because they tell me something. That there is no Eve Coleman. Only a girl who calls herself that. A girl who's...
Who's really Mrs. Arthur Matson?
Yeah.
That's who I am. Mrs. Arthur Matson. Any complaints? Any...
Yeah.
Vic! Hi, Vic.
What is it?
It's Laura. Invite me in, Vic?
You know the way in.
They asked me if you were seasick when you didn't show for dinner.
I'm sick.
I missed you.
Yeah.
Did it hurt to stay away from me, Vic? Tell me how much it hurt.
Get out of here.
Is it the name? Is that what bothers you? Why don't you try it, darling? It's easy. Laura Matson. Nice.
What is it, will you? What kind of dame are you?
You ask that? You?
Look.
At what? A child who reached for the moon and sulks because he found it a different color? You can't afford to sulk, Vic, not you.
What?
The last time I saw my husband was an hour after his escape from you. How does a little man like Arthur Matson get away from a man your size, Vic? How? He buys us.
You're out of your mind.
You want the price? $5,000. Arthur told me. He's... Hurting me won't change it, darling. Doesn't change anything.
He lied to you. You hear what I say?
I don't care. Don't you understand that? Not about any of it. I love you, darling.
I...
Say it. I want to hear you say it. Vic.
I love you, Laura.
Senor.
You find out anything?
Catch my breath,
Where
senor.
Is she, Pepe? Where? I tried her cabin every place.
Easy, senor. I just found out from one of the seamen. He saw her leave the moment we docked. She was the first one off.
What? Well, she couldn't do... You sure?
Is what he say. It must be so, senor. She's nowhere to be found. I'm sorry, senor.
No. You take stuff to the hotel. I got things to do. Be with the Santiago police most of the day.
Which hotel, senor?
What's the best?
Casa Santiago. Right on the beach. It's nice for swimming.
All right, that's it then. This time around, might as well go first class.
Must have been a long visit with the police. It's after 8, senor.
Haven't seen the chief yet. He's at the other end of the city all day. Should be here in any minute.
Then I see you in the morning. You like the room, the radio?
Yeah, fine.
Senor Kennedy?
That's right, you, Captain Delgado?
Very late, Delgado, with much apology.
For what? Come on in.
For taking so long to return your call.
Oh, forget it. You didn't know I was coming.
But of course I did, senor. Your Senor O'Brien said so.
Sit down, senor. Drink?
Nice idea, senor. Very nice.
O'Brien phoned you, huh?
Si. I think we talked for maybe 20 minutes. A long time.
Yeah, O'Brien can talk. Here's your drink.
Gracias. Acala lo que merezca, senor.
My Spanish isn't that good.
Translation. To each what he deserves. Mm-hmm. How you call philosophical, no?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure O'Brien told you the whole setup, then.
See, everything.
Uh-huh. What do you think?
Is possible this Arthur Matson is on Masafuera? If so, he won't be hard to find. A wild island, senor. Beautiful, but no different than it was thousands of years ago.
Primitive, huh?
See, they will know if an American lives on that island.
They, don't you know?
O'Brien, amigo, he asks me the same question, and I try to explain to him.
Explain what, Delgado?
The simple fact that Masafuera is just an island and that I have no, how you call, jurisdiction there. Comprende?
Yeah, I understand.
And then we have no problems.
None.
Bueno, the day has been long. And the bed will be as a friend. If there is anything I can do for you here in Santiago, you will give me that pleasure?
You've done it already, senor.
And then I say good night to you, senor, and good hunting. I hope you find this Arthur Matson before she does.
She?
The young lady. The lovely young lady who asks my lieutenant about Matson only this afternoon. Buenas noches.
Open your eyes, Vic. For me. A man alone on the beach at night is trying to wash something out of his mind.
Oh, Laura.
No questions? No, where have you been?
I know where you've been. Doesn't matter.
Say it, Vic. I want to hear it.
I love you, Laura.
Again?
I love you.
Oh. Sweet Vic. Laura, is it?
Worried, Vic. Matson, what are we going to do about him?
Kill him and die.
Why, Laura, why?
You've always known you'd have to do it.
Now, listen.
You took a bribe, darling, remember? I don't want my Vic in prison. I want him with me, close to me. Kill him, darling.
Laura.
All that money. A little nothing like him sitting on an island with all that money. Our money. You hear me, darling? You understand?
Our money, Laura.
There's a plane in the morning to Massafuera. We'll be on it together.
We'll be on it. Like manhunting, Laura?
Oh, not 8 hours of it.
Delgado didn't tell me it was all uphill.
Vic.
Huh? What is it?
Clearing just ahead. I think it's the top.
It better be. Come on.
In time for dinner, Mr. Kennedy. I waited almost a year for you. You're looking well, Laura. Tired, but well.
Hello, Arthur.
You want to freshen up, my dear?
Arthur.
And while you do, I'll entertain Mr. Kennedy. Show him what my island has to recommend it. Freshen up, Laura.
Matson.
Now, let me play host, Kennedy. I'm out of practice, but let me try. Your drink, Laura? Yours, Kennedy?
Nice.
Lost his mind. Is that what you're thinking, Kennedy? That Arthur Matson's lost his mind? Matson, a man who shows you a shabby little house he loves and a stone terrace he built himself and makes you a drink as civilized people do. Values change, Kennedy. This is all I care about now. This terrace, the view from it, even the rocks 100 feet below. A great lesson, Kennedy. From here, everyone's a little man.
I'm glad you're happy, little man.
How am I going to die, Kennedy? Will you use a knife? A gun? How?
What's the matter with you?
I don't mind. Not really. I've had a year away from her. A whole year. You'll pray for your island. Won't take too long.
You're crazy.
Laura's doing better with you, Kennedy. You're going to kill for her. I only stole for her.
You stole for yourself, Matt.
So, that's what she fed you. Oh, poor Kennedy.
Shut up. Shut up.
You told him I had the money, Laura? Lovely, lovely.
Kill him, Vic. Now. What are you waiting for?
Who's got it, Matson? Who?
She has, you idiot. She's always had it, but I'm the only one who knows it, aren't I, Laura? With me alive, you'd never be safe, never be completely sure. You're going to do your own killing, Laura.
You let him live too long, Vic. He shouldn't have said that. Don't move, Vic.
You're going to kill us both, Laura?
Both.
Like you killed the little man in the bar back in Taltown?
I bought that, darling. You were getting too close. Say goodbye, Arthur. Nicely.
Not alone.
No.
I won't go alone.
Let me go. Vic, help. Help me. Help.
You don't need help. Not anymore. I need it now.
Under the direction of David Friedkin and Morton Fine, Escape has brought you The Target, a story by Tony Barrett. Featured in the cast were Whitfield Connor and Mary Jane Croft. Also heard were Edgar Berrier, Herb Butterfield, Hans Conried, Melita Milo, and Jay Novello. Your announcer, George Walsh. The special music for Escape is composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. Next week.
You're at the end of a journey you've committed murder to make. A barren wasteland of India, silent, desolate, where there is a cave and a carved image of the goddess Kali, whose heart is a ruby big as a grenade, and which is guarded by a smiling old man from whom there is no escape.
So listen next week when Escape brings you Ross Murray's story, The Red Heart of Kali. An honest doctor resists temptation but gets into trouble anyway tomorrow night when Mr. and Mrs. North bring us their latest thrilling mystery. Don't forget, CBS Radio has a date for mystery with Mr. and Mrs. North tomorrow night, and you're welcome too on most of these same stations. Stay tuned now for Night Watch, which follows immediately over most of these stations. Where there's Gunsmoke, there's Western Adventure Monday nights on the CBS Radio Network.
That's Escape from September 18th, 1954, with The Target, starring Edgar Berrier with William Conrad. Also in the cast, Hans Conried, as heard on CBS. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, you know what, Lisa Wolf?
What, Carl Amari?
That's 1 hour down, two more to go.
I just said that during the commercial. You just
you
like my words. That,
really?
In those exact words.
Come on.
Exact words.
I had my headphones on. I didn't hear you.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I really did. Honestly.
I just
maybe
said that.
Maybe subconsciously I heard you
say
it. Hour two will be Burns and Allen.
Yes, indeed.
And then hour three will be Casey, crime photographer. So in my experience with these classic radio shows.
Yes.
That's a comedy and a detective show.
Yes, sir.
We listen
sure
to
is.
A mystery. So we try to give people a kind of a variety here, right?
Yes, we are a variety.
we like giving people westerns and detectives and comedies and horror shows and sci-fi adventures. You know, I really like sci-fi radio shows. There's not a lot of sci-fi radio shows. I mean, there was
especially
Dimension
for
X,
adults, as we talked
right,
about.
Right. There was Dimension X and X-1. And there was a short-lived series called Exploring Tomorrow, another one called 2000+. But these were like five episodes. There wasn't that much adult science fiction. Although Escape, which we just listened to, every once in a while, they did a sci-fi story.
Yeah.
They would do a Ray Bradbury story,
right,
something like that. Suspense, too, towards the end of the run. Suspense, throughout its full run, from 42 to 65 or something like that, it had very few sci-fi stories throughout the main run. But then about 1955 through 65, the last 10 years, they would do a sci-fi story every maybe 7 or 8 episodes. But very little sci-fi out there, yeah. I mean, X-1 and Dimension X is pretty good.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
It is about 8 minutes after midnight. Thanks, Roger. Thank you, Esmeralda. And we have some classic radio shows for you this hour with the Burns and Allen Show. George Burns, Gracie Allen, they were amazing. You'll hear them in just a few minutes. Then in our third hour, Casey, crime photographer. But right now, it's time to play Cat's Pride. Crack the quote. What is the movie, Lisa?
The movie is Inside Out.
Inside Out.
I knew you hadn't seen that one. That's a Pixar Animation Studios.
Roger, did you ever see?
Released by Walt Disney.
Oh, yes, I have.
He's got grandchildren, so he's got one
Inside
on you here,
out.
Carl.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Never heard it. Sounds like a Lights Out story.
Yeah,
Inside
that's what it is.
Out.
That's, you right, got Roger? It. You got it right.
Starring Boris Karloff.
Yeah, you got it.
Inside Out.
Yeah, something. Yeah. It's fairly similar to that.
Very. All right. What do they win?
They're going to win a Twilight Zone 4 CD set.
Okay. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Call right now, 312-981-7200. Fifth caller will play the game with us live on the air. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Goes another buck.
I know.
To Roger.
Is he worth it?
Living life.
Is he worth it?
Yeah.
I think you're worth it, Roger. You're worth a dollar and a quarter to me.
Wow.
We've got. So sorry. We've got Paul on the line. Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
How are you?
Hi, Paul.
I'm doing good.
Good. All glad you made it through. Paul, have you ever seen this movie?
I've never seen this movie.
Yes, it's an excellent Pixar movie.
I know.
Movie.
Oh. It's an excellent Pixar movie. It was produced by Pixar Animation. It was released by Walt Disney. So how bad could it be?
Well, I'm
going
to go with Paul, whatever he says.
Yeah, I would too. But Roger's seen it too, so we'll see how it goes.
I trust Paul.
Okay. I don't blame you. Okay, here we go. Number one, I feel sorry for kids these days. Number two, I need a list of all the possible negative outcomes on the first day at a new school. Number three, the countdown to the last day of school begins.
I think it's number two, as
number
I recall,
two.
Because it's different emotions are played by different voice actors. And I think there was something about the first day of school, and it's like the control center of the mind, all the different emotions. I think it is number two.
Number two. Roger, do you agree with Paul?
I want Carl to guess first.
Carl's going with Paul.
Oh, jeez.
So,
never mind.
Paul's
right. going
to make me sound smart.
He's absolutely correct, because the girl had just moved to a new town with her parents and was not happy. And so I'm going with number two.
All right, I'm
going
to read it again. I need a list of all the possible negative outcomes on the first day at a new school. Let's hear it.
I need a list of all the possible negative outcomes on the first day at a new school.
And there you have it. Paul, you are awesome. We're so glad you've got
it. Our listeners are geniuses. You know,
I don't know if he's a genius.
We have the smartest listeners in all of radio.
He certainly knows his Inside Out, right?
I know those quotes inside out.
There you go. You've got it inside out, upside down.
Way to go, Paul.
Thank you for calling. You've won the Twilight Zone. It's a 4-CD set. It is hosted by Stacey Keach. You are going to love them, so I hope that you enjoy that. And I so appreciate your calling in.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
Paul.
Great talking to you.
Appreciate you. All right, it's time now for the Burns and Allen Show. George Burns and Gracie Allen. George gets a black eye on this episode.
Have you ever had a black eye?
I have. I had two black eyes at one time.
Really?
Because I got in a fight with a guy, and he punched me in the face and broke my nose.
Really?
And then I had two black eyes.
I looked like a I bet
secret
you looked
squirrel.
Good. A secret.
I looked like a raccoon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
in college.
So did
I'll
you
never forget.
So did you hit him too? Did you fight
back?
Yeah.
What happened was he hit me and my head hit the ground and it was
and
about
that was it.
That was about it.
I hear
you. So it was a short fight.
Yes. I hear you. Well, better luck next time.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover, Lisa.
I know. You're a lover,
fighter.
Not a fighter.
All right.
Okay.
George Burns is probably a lover, too. He doesn't look like he wasn't much of a fighter, I don't think.
I don't know.
So let's see what happens on this show. December 9th, 1940, part one of the Burns and Allen Show.
From Hollywood, the George Burns and Gracie Allen Show for Hormel and Spam.
Crazy people. Spam, reba, boom, spam. George Burns and Gracie Allen on show and his orchestra for singing glee with the smoothies three. Last but not least, and with Bud Heaston. Thank you.
Monday night brings Burns and Allen to your house again with this suggestion for a breakfast that is sure to start the day off right. Spam and pancakes. It's a swell combination. Golden, fluffy pancakes topped by a hearty chunk of melting butter surrounded by lightly browned, sizzling hot slices of Spam. Spam is tender, juicy meat that has a lip-smacking goodness all of its own. While the cakes are simmering on the griddle, open a can of Spam and fry slices quickly in a hot pan. The meaty flavor, the delicious taste of Spam fried is a breakfast hit that really satisfies husky appetites. Give your family Spam and pancakes, the new way to start the day. Just be sure you say to your food dealer, I want Spam. Those two Spambassadors of fun, George and Gracie, who, by the way, have just returned from San Diego, where, at the request of the government, they did a broadcast for the United States Navy.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Bud, I wish you'd been with us. What a thrill it was doing a broadcast before those 5,000 sailors in those spotless uniforms.
Oh, yes, it was.
Gracie, wouldn't you love to be a mother to all those boys?
What? And sew on all those buttons?
Oh. Yeah, Bud, what an impressive sight to see hundreds of airplanes zooming overhead.
You know, my sister Bessie used to go around with an aviator. Mm. He was a sky rider.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, oh, and was he bashful.
She went around with a bashful sky rider.
Yes, every day he used to fly behind a cloud and write, Bessie, I love you.
That must have been in Florida. Of course, in California, they don't have any clouds, it says here.
So, you had a nice time, huh?
Oh, did we? And, George, wasn't Captain Gearing a wonderful host? And wasn't Commander Wood charming?
They certainly were.
Oh, and what about that tall, handsome officer who took me riding?
Oh, you mean the one with all the gold braid on his sleeve?
Yes, I wish he didn't have all that gold braid on his sleeve, though.
Why not?
Well, it kept scratching the back of my neck, if you know what I mean.
I think I know what you mean. Oh, by the way, Gracie, I saw you dance with him. He certainly was a wonderful rumba dancer.
Oh, well, he should be. He's a rear admiral.
Yeah, he probably knew his way around the equator. That's all I got. Will you make it a long laugh?
Say, wait a minute. George, I just noticed something. Where did you get that black eye?
Oh, darn it, the powder must have worn off. But if I told you how I got it, you wouldn't believe it anyway.
Well, I don't know. I believed you when you told it to me. I think it's perfectly possible to be eating a grapefruit and have the cherry hit you in the eye.
Bud, you really should have been with us at San Diego.
Boy, what a shiner. Say, George, I just made up a riddle. Now, what's the difference between a black eye, a rowboat, and a can of Spam?
I give up.
Well, Spam is pure pork meat with ham meat added.
Well, what about the rowboat and the black eye?
Who cares?
You know, Bud, after that, I'm really glad.
Hello, Gracie.
Hello, Artie.
Hello, George.
Hello, Artie.
I heard your show from San Diego, and where'd you get that black eye?
Oh, well, he got it from a cherry and a grapefruit.
Well, never mind, Gracie. Artie, is my eye that swollen?
Put a bumper on it, brother, and you got a streamlined Buick.
Don't be so funny.
And his top comes off, too.
All right. So I wear a coupe.
Señor Burns, ¿qué tal? ¿Cómo les fue allá en San Diego? Me dijeron que estaba muy bonito allá en el asunto de la...
What is it, Señor Lee?
Este, ya... ¡Qué barbaridad! ¡Qué ojo! Where did you get that black eye?
Look, forget my black eye. We're talking about the Navy.
I used to be a sailor on the battleship Mississippi.
It's not Mississippi. It's Mississippi.
She got married?
Yeah, to a tall fella. She got married. You were a sailor on the Mississippi?
Yes, the Mississippi. M-I-P-I-N-G, S-S-I-P-I-N-G, P-P-I-N-G.
Just a minute. What are the pings for?
I'm dotting the I's.
Nobody dots the eyes.
Somebody dotted yours.
Look, if you don't sit down, somebody will dot yours.
Well, that's that.
Look, will you stop with my black eye? We've had enough of that. Gracie, what were we talking about?
Oh, we were talking about the Navy.
Oh, yes. And the most thrilling sight was doing a broadcast before 5,000 sailors.
10,000.
5,000.
Well, you only saw it through one eye.
Look, you're all making such a fuss about my eye, and it's hardly noticeable. So, Gracie, will you please stop?
Oh, the Navy.
Yes, let's get back to the Navy.
Yeah, all right. You know, the most thrilling thing I saw in San Diego were the trained termites that a sailor brought back from Singapore. And they were the cutest thing...
Trained termites?
Yes, he keeps them in the frigid air. And they were
In a frigid air?
Yes, and you should have seen...
How does he keep them from freezing?
Well, he's got pants on his hands.
Well, they probably look very dapper. Come in.
Mr. Burns?
Yes. Well, that's the last straw.
Well, George, how'd it happen anyway?
Well, you see, he was eating grapefruit, and he was hit in the eye by a little squirt.
Oh, never mind. I'll tell you how it happened. I was sitting in a restaurant in Tijuana eating a donut, and a man next to me was eating some soup. And a Mexican jumping bean jumped out of his plate, hit the wall, bounced off the ceiling, went through the hole in the donut, and hit me in the eye. That's how I got a black eye.
That's possible.
It is.
George.
What is it, Gracie?
That's the second biggest lie I ever heard in my life.
What's the first biggest lie?
The one I made up about the termites.
Oh, they weren't wearing pants.
No, slacks.
Slacks. Gracie, what are you laughing about?
Oh, I'm thinking about San Diego. I had a wonderful time. You remember that handsome lieutenant?
You mean the tall one?
Yes. Oh, was he embarrassed. I kissed him in front of all his men.
Who put you up to it?
Nobody. I stood on a chair.
Gracie, you violated one of the rigid rules of discipline. You know the Navy builds men.
They do? I wish they'd build me one.
Come in.
Good evening. I'm looking for George Burns.
Oh, there's George Burns.
He's a comedian, no?
No.
I'm George Burns.
I just drove in from Mexico.
Mexico?
Si. That is correct pronunciation. Mexico.
Well, what kind of gasoline did you use? Tejeco?
What do you want to see me about, mister?
Well, senor, I am from the Mexican Chamber of Commerce in Tijuana... And I'm so sorry to have missed you when you were there last Tuesday.
Qué barbaridad, qué chistoso.
Senor Lee, what are you laughing at?
Don't he speak funny?
Oh, quiet, quiet.
Next week, Senor Burns, we are having the winter fiesta in Tijuana. We'd like to have you and Miss Allen come down there and be our guest of honor.
Me go back to Tijuana after what happened last Tuesday? Not a chance.
Well, George, you can't blame him for that. It was your fault.
My fault?
Yes.
It was your fault.
No, it was your fault.
It was your fault. You know, you knew we only had 1 hour to spend in Tijuana before we got back to San Diego.
Oh, it was your fault.
Oh, it was your fault.
No, it was yours.
Going into a gift shop and getting that sales lady to set you everything in the place. That's the silliest thing.
So, senorita, you will buy this Mexican perfume?
Yes, I'll buy it.
Will you take it with you?
No, I'll smell it here.
Gracie, the border closes in 7 minutes.
Miss, how much is this plate?
It was originally $2, but we are selling it for 25 cents because it is cracked.
Well, that's very cheap. You may crack me 11 more, please.
Hey, George, where's Senor Lee?
I don't know, and the border closes in 6 minutes.
Miss, have you got anything for my little nephew?
Well... Maybe you would like a cute little pig bank?
No, he doesn't save pigs. He saves pennies.
Hello? Who? Si, he's here. Senor Burns is for you.
For me? Hello?
Senor Burns?
Senor Lee, where are you?
I'm having a wonderful time. There are 3,000 beautiful senoritas here in Tijuana.
Senor Lee, what are you up to?
2,834.
Well... This is fine, and we've only got 4 minutes before the border closes.
Hey, George, look. Bud's having an argument with the manager.
Where?
Over there, listen.
Oh, yeah? Is that so? You can't talk that way to me just because I'm a tourist.
One more word out of you, and I'll give you what's good for you.
See, what is good for me?
Spam! It's delicious pork shoulder with ham meat added.
Now, boys, boys, we've only got 2 minutes, and we got to get across the
miss,
border.
Miss, I'll take a pair of these Mexican socks for my granddaddy.
Si, senorita. That will be 78 cents.
78 cents?
Si, 75 for the socks and 3 cents for the tax.
Oh, well, I won't need any tax. He holds them up with his garters.
Look, Gracie, we've only got 1 minute before the border closes. We've got to get
Hello? He's here. Senor Burns, you are wanted on the telephone.
Thanks. Hello?
Senor Burns? I am hugging and kissing a beautiful girl, but I will be through in about 20 minutes.
20 minutes? What about the border?
Oh, he can kiss her after I'm gone.
Look, we've only got a half a minute.
Miss, I'll take the small bottle. No, I'll take the large bottle. No, never mind. How much are those pianos?
The pianos?
Now, don't get excited, Senor Burns. The border just closed.
The border's closed? Gracie, now we'll have to stay in Mexico.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Now I'll be able to spend a moonlight night in Mexico. Oh, just imagine one of those tall, handsome sombreros wearing a hacienda, playing his tortilla under a balcony of my enchilada.
That is the first portion of the George Burns and Gracie Allen Show from December 9th, 1940. We'll get back to it in just a moment. They got sponsored by Spam.
Yes.
We've talked about this before.
Yes,
Lisa.
We have.
I just don't get Spam. And I know there are people at this radio station, Nick DiGilio, that likes Spam.
Didn't he say he likes the bacon flavored,
I
believe?
He likes Spam. I mean, here's the thing with Spam. It's meat in a can.
It's just very processed.
Right there, enough of that. Just
well, you
meat.
eat meat, just
yeah,
not
in,
a can. I don't even eat meat, so
and
I'm
then,
a few.
Here's what it sounds like:
you
open it up, and then you pop it out into the plate.
Well,
goes,
how do you know? Have you ever done it?
Here's what it sounds like.
Have you ever done that actually, or are you just making it up?
That's what it sounds like.
Carl, did you hear my question? He's not listening.
Sometimes it does this at the end. And so I don't want to eat meat that sounds like that. You know what I mean?
I'm not listening to you.
But let's take a break right now. We'll be right back. To J. Walter Thompson.
Yes,
right?
I did.
Lisa was a highly paid. You came up with slogans and different things for Kraft. And I mean, you know, this is an intelligent woman over here. Smart gal. She has 2 master's degrees. I have a master's degree in the School of Hard Knocks.
But you're not real good with the
what
sound effects board.
Wow. Ouch. My earlobes.
You're good at something, so Carl,
but
it's okay.
I came up with a slogan for Spam.
Yeah.
It's a billion-dollar idea.
So all right.
Max said to me, he's our intern for today, and learning all about radio here.
He could probably teach us a few things.
And he said, I should contact Spam with this because it's so good, right? So the slogan is, Spam, the meat that talks. Eh?
Yeah.
What do you think of
that's
that?
That's good.
You like it?
Yeah. That's really good.
Max, what do you think? They can hear you with the microphone. What do you think, Max?
I mean, yeah, I thought it was a pretty solid slogan.
It's a good slogan, right?
Yeah. I'm liking it.
You open that thing up, pour it out. And then at the end, you'll get like a...
Well, I think the Spam people are not going to be too happy with you because I don't think that you're portraying them in a positive light.
No. People here love Spam. I mean,
I know, but we don't want to knock it. Maybe, you know, they need to make some money.
Well, if they
want to
sponsor
like
the show, you'll hear how much I love it.
Are you going to sell yourself out here?
No. What I'm saying is if they want to sponsor the show,
then you'll...
I'll find one of the flavors that I like.
Okay, so now you're going back.
I have lots of flavors. This is my moonwalk. I'm doing a moonwalk.
I gotcha. You just back it up.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Lisa, can you hand me that can of Spam over there, please?
Here you go. Open it up and give it a shot.
Let me see here. Hang on. Turn it over.
Turn it over. Here we go. Do you need a fork, too?
That looks delicious.
You know...
Spam, the food that talks. The meat, sorry. I messed up my own slogan.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Man. Hang on a second. Spam. The meat that talks.
I bet you they're going to hire you.
I'm telling you, it's a...
Yeah. Good one, Carl.
Max, you like it, right?
Yeah.
If you were the president of Spam and you heard that right now...
You'd fire you.
Would you call me and be like, listen, we want to give you a multi-million-dollar contract?
I would. I would put it on because, you know, it's not false advertising.
It's the food. It's the meat that talks.
Yeah.
Right?
They get what they pay for.
Yeah. Okay. There it is.
There it is.
So someday... When you're the CEO of Spam, make sure that you come back and you give me that gig.
Yep, you got it.
All right, thank you very much. In the meantime, let's listen to more of Burns and Allen.
You got me this way, say, what are you gonna do about it? What are you gonna do about it? You got me this way, crazy for you. I've got you under my skin. You kissed me one day, then seeing that I was true about it. What did you go and do about it? You left me this way, bluer than blue. You thought it was oh so funny, my falling so hard. I'm laughing my sides off, honey. You're really a card. You've got me this way, say. Now that I'm in, it's true about it. What am I gonna do about it? I'm just gonna stay crazy for you.
How you give me the runaround and still I follow you all around. You brush me, give me the well-known fluff. I take it and all of your other guff.
Oh, why did you ever begin it? You knew there could be nothing in it. You got me this way, now I'm in a stew about it. What am I gonna do about it? What am I gonna do about it? I'm just gonna stay crazy for you. I'll never let you get away, now that you got me this way.
Now, George, just leave it to me. I'll get you across the border in my car. Just get under the seat there.
Okay, bud. And good luck.
Here we go.
Hey there, halt for inspection. Now, what have you got under the back seat of that car?
Well, it's a case of Spam. That's it, Spam.
Spam?
Yes, Spam. And never in your life have you tasted anything so delicious. Such juicy, tender meat. Why, all over America, women are serving this grand-tasting meat in many different ways. You'll find several easy recipes right on the label, and cold or hot, it hits the spot.
Well, that's different.
And do you know why Spam is different? Because it was originated by Hormel. You see, Spam is a combination of pork shoulder meat to make Spam sweet and juicy, and, now get this, Captain, the ham it takes to give Spam extra goodness and flavor. A perfect blend of those two choice cuts, nothing else. That's why Spam tastes so good, fried for breakfast, why it makes a hit served cold, and why Spam baked gives your family a grand main course for dinner. Now, so you won't be fooled and can always be sure of getting the real thing, look for this sentence printed right on the label of the Spam can. Pork shoulder meat with ham meat added. You try Spam tomorrow.
Okay, buddy, you can pass.
Thanks.
Just a minute. I am the official of the American border. You cannot leave this country.
Well, why not?
If Spam is that good, we keep it right here in Mexico.
Slice it, dice it, fry it, bake it, cold or hot. Spam hits the spot.
Look, we've got to get across the border. We've got a broadcast to do in San Diego.
Well, why don't you get in touch with the American ambassador?
Oh, he's in Mexico City.
What about the consuls?
Oh, George had those removed when he was a baby.
Gracie, try to be sensible. This is important. Will you get hold of yourself?
Well, I can't. I'm ticklish.
Look, Artie, Bud, can't you think of something?
Well, wait a minute, George. I think I've got an idea. Bud and I can start a fight, and while the border official's watching us, you and Gracie can sneak across in the dark.
Yeah.
Say, that's a swell idea. Go ahead, boys.
All right. Well, I'll punch you in the nose.
Oh, I'll punch you in the nose.
Yeah, I'd like to see you cross that line.
Gracie. Gracie. Gracie, just follow me.
Yeah, I'm following you.
voyage, Doc. Give me your hand. Okay, I've got it. I think we're across the border.
Are we really?
Yes. Who are you?
The border official. Get back.
Oh. Well, come on, Gracie.
There's nobody here.
Well, nobody here. Then whose fingers am I holding? It's a cow. Well, I beg your pardon. Gracie, where are you?
Right here.
Where were you?
I was with you.
With me? You weren't with me.
No. Here, have a glass of milk.
Gracie, where did you get the milk?
Well, I put my hand under the cow's crankcase, and when nobody
was
looking...
Never mind. Wait a minute. I know how to get across. I'll sneak through the brush. Now, quiet, everybody.
What's that going through the brush? What's going on there?
Oh! Oh!
Take some bicarbonate, Burns, and get back.
Oh. Gosh. It didn't work again.
Don't be silly, Artie. There's no other way. There's at least 10 different ways.
Well, I can't think of any other way.
Well, now, listen, Bud. I've tried 3 ways. What are the other ways?
Well, you can fry it with eggs. You can try it with chili slaw, sauce, and dice.
Wait a minute, Bud. Try it with chili slaw. Look, Bud, there are other things in the world besides Spam.
Traitor.
Well, what am I going to do? Time is flying.
Well, George, why don't you put on these moccasins that I bought in the gift shop so that you won't make any noise, and then you can get across.
Oh, well, that's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah? Well, if Burbank could cross an onion with a potato, you ought to be able to cross the border with a pair of moccasins.
Well, all you do is talk until nobody knows what's happening.
Say, you just hit on an idea.
What idea?
Now, I'll go over to the border official and talk so much that he won't know what he's doing. And so it's dark, and then you'll be able to sneak across.
Say, that's a good idea. But he might see me.
No, he won't. When I see he's interested in this conversation, I'll whistle like this.
Wait a minute. Did that whistle come out of you?
Yeah.
Let's hear that again. Oh, say it.
And then you can jump in the brook over there and swim to the American side.
Well, anything. I'll try anything. Okay.
Yoo-hoo, Mr. Official.
Yes? What is it, miss?
Hello.
Hello.
Say, you're pretty. What's your name?
Bill Murray. What's your name?
Oh, Grace Ethel Cecile Rosalie Allen.
Oh. What were you named after?
After I was born.
Yeah, that's pretty cute.
Oh, so am I. how do you like your job?
Oh, it's all right, but sometimes it gets pretty hot here. Yesterday was 120 in the shade.
120 in the shade? Not yet, George.
This is a fine time to tell me.
Mr. Murray, are you married or do you live in Hollywood?
I've got a wife and 2 girls.
Oh, does your wife know about it?
No, they're my daughters. You see, I've got 11 mouths to feed.
Really? I thought the bottom 6 were wrinkled.
No, I mean I'm the father of 11 children.
11 children? Not yet, George.
Not yet. There must be an easier way to get across the border.
So, you're the father of 11 children. Does this border work take up all your time?
No, I have a little fun on the side.
Oh. Which side, the American side or the Mexican side?
Both sides.
Both sides?
Gracie, stop whistling and come over here. Look at me. I'm soaking wet. I wouldn't jump in that water again if you paid me $1 million. All you do is stand there and go... I did it again.
Look, George, give me your hand. Come on.
Okay, boy. I've got an idea now. Here, throw this blanket over you. Now, you just go over to that house over there. It's all dark. Now, the front of it is in Mexico, and the back of it is in the United States. All you have to do is go through it, and you'll be over the border.
Well, this is my last chance. I'll try it. Oh, boy. Look at me. I'm wringing wet. Guess there's nobody home. See, the door is unlocked. Say, it's dark in here. Oh, just look. Phone has to ring. Oh, boy. Better answer it before somebody hears me. Ouch! Oh, darn it, I hit my eye. Boy, will I have a shiner in the morning. Hello.
George, this is Gracie.
Gracie? What do you want?
A thumbtack.
Well, this must be the light switch here.
Oh, who are you?
Oh, pardon me. I didn't know there was anybody home. You see, miss, I got to get across the border to do a broadcast. I'm George Burns.
George Burns of the movies and the radio?
That's right.
Oh, come over here. Sit down.
Now, I'm sorry, miss. I've got to go.
Oh, you do not have to go now. Come here and kiss me.
Oh, no, no. I've got to. Oh.
See, mister, that's what happened in your country. Of course, that's only half of my story, but I finally got over the border and we did our broadcast.
You know, senor, that is very interesting. Now you must come back to Tijuana to our festa. You'll meet that beautiful senorita again.
Oh, yeah, let's go back, George. Oh, imagine once again sitting under a shady tamale listening to a Nada Pastor play La Paloma on his avocado.
Look. Gracie, please.
George, I don't believe you got the black eye that way, and I don't believe you ever met a senorita.
Yeah? Well, here, look. She gave me her picture.
Caramba, that is a very beautiful girl.
Yes, and it was worth a black eye to make love to a girl like that.
Senor Burns, I would say it was worth two black eyes.
Two black eyes?
Si, I'm her husband.
Oh!
At some time or another, all of us have tried to work crossword puzzles. Well, here's a four-letter word for a delicious meat that's different. The word is S-P-A-M, Spam. Thousands of families now use it regularly because Spam has a meaty taste, a finer flavor that satisfies the family served cold or hot. If you haven't yet tried Spam, now's the time. You're really missing something. Get a can or two when you shop tomorrow. But be sure to insist on Spam. Then try the easy recipes on the label and discover the modern way to serve delicious meat that's grand to eat, economical to use.
Thanks, Bud. Well, Gracie, say goodnight.
Oh, goodnight. Say, George, when you were in Mexico and you wanted to get over the line, why didn't you make out you were a bear?
Make out? What kind of a bear?
A Chicago bear. They got over the line 11 times yesterday.
They did, huh? Well, good night.
Again next week, same time, same station, for another Burns and Allen show with Artie Shaw and his orchestra and the Smoothies. This is Bud Heaston speaking for the Hormel Company, reminding you to remember that cold or hot, Spam hits the spot. Have you tried Hormel Chili Con Carne? Even those who think they don't like chili do like Chili Con Carne the way Hormel makes it, because it's different and everybody likes it. Double your money back if you don't like it. Try Hormel Chili Con Carne tomorrow. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
There you have it, the Burns and Allen Show, sponsored by Hormel, which is the makers of Spam and Chili Con Carne. All the stuff you like, Lisa. All the meat.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa likes meat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
She eats it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yummy, yummy meat.
Yes, that's okay. My sentiment.
Especially if it talks to you.
Yes.
And you really like it.
Yep, whatever you say.
All right, that's Burns and Allen from December 9th, 1940. Great show. They're always funny, Burns and Allen.
Oh, yeah.
Right? George Burns and Gracie Allen. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, well, we have an intern in here today. He's interning with the show. His name is Max Whithoft. Huh? Did I say it right, Max?
That's right. That's absolutely right.
I said it right? All right, good. And Max likes classic radio. He has an app, and you've listened to
Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes. What else do you like?
Six Shooter. And
sure.
Abbott and Costello, which is you know, always a solid choice.
Sure. But Abbott and Lou Costello. Have you ever heard any Burns and Allen shows?
No, not
all right.
Well, now you can say
there it is.
Yeah.
You know what we have in the next hour?
Yep.
Casey Crime Photographer. Have you ever heard of that show?
I have not.
Okay, you're going to like it. It's a kind of a mystery detective show.
If you stop talking during the shows, he could hear them, just saying.
Well, we talked about this yesterday, and let's let Max be the judge of this.
Okay.
She says I talk too much, but I get paid to talk. So shouldn't I give my employers their money's worth?
I mean, it makes sense. It's
right,
just,
see? Max says it makes sense.
The other side of the coin is sometimes you have to listen.
What's
He's
that?
Not real good at
listen.
That part.
It's okay. Maybe I'm not a good listener.
Not a good listener.
Maybe that's why you've been married 35 years and I haven't.
35? I must have been married 30? When I was like four.
You're like 30, right?
Yeah.
30 years?
Yeah, 30 years.
30 going on 30 years?
Not even
it's a
close.
Long time.
No.
It's a long time, Lisa.
See, that's what I'm saying. He doesn't listen.
Well, in the next hour, we're all going to listen to
no
Casey
idea.
Crime Photographer with Stotts Cotsworth. There's a name.
Yeah.
Staats, Stotts Cotsworth. Cotsworth.
You know anybody else named Stotts?
I don't know anyone
named
Stotts.
I don't know anybody
Stotts.
Named Stotts.
I don't know anybody.
How about what's the other name that we always say we're going to name our kids?
Harlow.
Oh, Harlow.
I like
we love
the name,
that
Harlow.
Harlow
yeah,
Wilcox.
That's a good name. Yeah.
Harlow, I like. It could be a
and
girl
what about,
or a guy.
What about Frank Lovejoy? You know anybody named Frank Lovejoy?
No, I don't.
Neither do I.
All right. Well, let's stick around for Casey Crime Photographer in hour three. We're still up. We didn't fall asleep or anything.
Well, I haven't.
We're up. Normally, Lisa's like...
Normally, Carl's in the green room on
She's
the couch.
Like, it sounds a little bit like spam.
Yeah.
When you
that's my goal.
That's like all. That's the sound effects that I have is like the spam... And the snoring.
And Lisa snoring.
Sound effect.
That covers it.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, hour three. Thanks for staying up late with us, folks. It is 1:07. No, wait, 1.
Yeah, you're right.
Is that right?
That's right.
1:07 in the morning.
Yeah, we've got 1 hour left of the WGN Radio Theater on hour three of our show. We are going
it's
to
late.
Do Casey Crime Photographer.
It's late. What are we doing up?
We're doing a radio show on WGN
right.
Radio.
Sunday night at 1 o'clock in the morning? It's late.
We do. You know what? They ask and we show up.
I know. Well, you know, I still say classic radio is meant to be listened to at night. You're in bed.
Yeah.
Getting ready for bed.
This wouldn't be fun on a Sunday morning.
It wouldn't work.
It just wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work like during the day.
No.
It has to be... Getting
you
ready
know,
for
it
bed.
It could be maybe 2 hours earlier on a Sunday.
That would be nice.
Okay, I would be okay if we did it from maybe 9 to midnight.
Yeah.
I don't know if Rick Kogan would appreciate that, but
no,
I would
wouldn't.
Probably
he probably
appreciate
wouldn't.
That.
But yeah, you know what? Then
what?
We'd be able to be home by...
Exactly.
Let's see, midnight.
1.
Yeah, I'd be home
and
by like 1:30.
We'd be sleeping right now. We'd
Lisa,
be in our bed.
Lisa and I talked on the way home yesterday.
You complained.
We were on the phone. And she's like, okay, well, I'm pulling into my house. I still had 20 more minutes of my drive.
I was in my garage and you were still talking.
I was like, I was complaining.
I could not get him off the
phone.
You
know why? You know what I was mad about?
I do.
The feeder ramp was closed.
The Ontario feeder ramp was closed last
how
night.
How dare they close
so
the...
Feet, he's
listen,
arguing,
if
he's
there's
talking,
anybody
he's
out
complaining.
There, hang on a second. If there's anybody out there that is in charge of the Ohio feeder ramp, please don't close that.
Well, we go home on Ontario. That's the one
did
that
I, did
goes
I say Ohio?
Westbound. Ohio goes east. Ontario
yeah, okay,
goes
Ontario.
West.
If you, I'm talking to you now, whoever this person is that
IDOT.
Is in charge
We're
of
talking
the
to IDOT.
Ontario feeder ramp, right?
Right.
Don't close that ramp.
Not on a
People
Saturday or Sunday.
People need to get home.
So we went home on division. It wasn't a problem.
Gosh.
I'm in my garage, and Carl is still talking.
I'm still aggravated.
He's still talking and complaining. Like, and I said, I have to go. I'm in my
garage.
But
here's the thing. There's no reason to close that ramp. There is no reason
to. Well, somebody thinks there is.
No, I will challenge that.
Okay.
No reason to
close Carl.
The Ontario feeder ramp.
You're right.
Zero reason.
You are right.
It better be open tonight.
Oh, it's open.
If it's not, they're going to have to deal with me.
I made a phone call. It's open.
All right.
Okay.
Well, in this hour, Casey, crime photographer with a show from 1947. But first, we're going to play Cat's Pride, Crack the Quote. What's the movie?
The movie is The Kid.
The Kid?
From 2000.
The Kid.
Have you seen that? Do you know about that, Max?
I don't know what that is.
See, Max knows.
I don't know what it is.
What do you know? What do you know about it?
What do you know about it, Max?
I believe that it stars Bruce Willis.
Oh, really?
Oh, I think that's right.
Oh.
He knows what he speaks of.
Okay, well,
okay, let's do
this. You can call now, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We'll take the third caller. We'll win.
They're going to win a Twilight Zone 4 CD set.
Sounds perfect. Call right now, 312-981-7200. We'll play the game live after these words.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
We have Kathy as lucky caller number 3. Hi, Kathy.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Good. We're
Kathy.
Good. Carl's kind of complaining he's tired, but
so Kathy,
what?
Do you like Spam?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Kathy and I are on the same page on this one.
Carl's kind of complaining he's tired, but I'm not tired. I'm good. Kathy. It's all good. The movie is The Kid. Have you seen it?
Never.
All right. Well, it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's with, he's right. It was
Bruce Willis
and Abigail Breslin's brother was in it. I forgot his name. Anyways, we're going to do this. I'm going to give you 3 quotes and we'll see what happens. Okay. All right. Number one, I'm old. I'm tired. I like to ask stupid questions. Number 2, I'm 20. I'm single. I'm handsome and I love hamsters. Number 3, I'm 40, I'm not married, I don't fly jets, and I don't have a dog.
Hmm.
How about the second one?
I'm 20, I'm single, I'm handsome, and I love hamsters. What do you think?
Wow, that's a good one, but I think it's 3. But
three?
But it's either 2 or 3.
Well, you got to make a choice.
I'm going to say 3.
Vacillate.
I'm going to say 3.
3 is I'm 40, I'm not married. You're talking about yourself here? I don't fly jets, and I don't have a dog?
I wish I was 40.
All right, let's see which one is right.
I'm 40, I'm not married, I don't fly jets, and I don't have a dog.
Well, Carl got you this one. Good job, Carl.
I got all 3 right.
You did.
Lisa.
I know, but you had a little help from the listeners.
I did.
But either way, Kathy, you're a winner. We so appreciate your calling in and staying up late with us. You've won the Twilight Zone 4 CD set. It's a lot of fun, and you'll have a lot of hours of enjoyment, so we hope you love it.
Way to go, Kathy.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care, hon. All right, so Kathy's a big winner. Are you ready for Casey, crime photographer,
yeah,
Lisa?
Let's do it.
This was an amateur detective series, and the character of Jack Flashgun Casey was first seen in pulp magazines, you know, way back in the 30s. And Casey was a newspaper cameraman who took crime scene photos, and his keen eye for detail served him very well at solving the crimes he was assigned to photograph. You know, they'd send the guy out to take the pictures, and he would end up solving the crime because he was so smart. He was S-M-A-R-T.
Good.
Smart.
Yep.
While waiting for his next assignment, he'd kill time with his gal pal, Annie Williams, at the Blue Note Cafe run by Ethelbert, the bartender. And you know who played Annie Williams?
Who?
Jan Miner.
Oh, right.
You know who Jan Miner
is?
Yeah,
you're soaking in it.
Madge.
You know what? We have a great picture of that Madge on our Facebook page, so check it out.
Stotts Cotsworth. There's a name.
Yeah.
Stotts Cotsworth was the star. He played Casey, crime photographer. We have him right now in this episode called The Box of Death. Let's go back to April 17th, 1947, part 1 of Casey, crime photographer.
The Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation brings you Crime Photographer.
Thank you.
Ethelbert, what's today's date?
It's the 17th, Casey.
How do you know?
Because tomorrow's the 18th. It's a famous day.
What do you mean, a famous day?
It's the anniversary of the famous ride of Paul Revere.
Did I hear somebody say famous? Why, I was just going to talk about something famous.
Is that so?
Sure. Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tony Marvin. Every week at this time, the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, and its more than 10,000 employees bring you another adventure of Casey, crime photographer, ace cameraman who covers the crime news of a great city. Written by Alonzo Dean Cole, our adventure for tonight, Box of Death. Three o'clock in the morning, a darkened street, deserted, except for a uniformed policeman languidly making his lonely round. In the middle of the sidewalk, he sees a large wooden packing case. He stops, reads a stenciled inscription on it, and then angrily enters an apartment building and rings a doorbell marked Superintendent.
Is that you at the door, Fred?
This is a policeman.
Policeman?
Yes, open up.
Just a minute. What is it, officer?
Does Mrs. George Donald live here?
What? I'm Mrs. Donald. You haven't brought me bad news.
I'm giving you a summons for blocking the sidewalk with that big box out there.
Big box?
A wooden packing case. Someone will break his neck on it.
But I don't know anything about a wooden box.
It's got your name on it. Come and see.
Okay. You know, for a moment I was afraid you were here about my husband.
Why should I be here about your husband?
He hasn't come home tonight. I've been waiting for him.
Huh. He must be an awful chump to stay out when he's got a wife as young and good-looking as you are.
He doesn't usually stay out.
Say, the super of this house is named Swanson. What are you and your husband doing in this apartment?
Mr. Swanson has rented us a room in his apartment until we can get a place of our own.
Well, the old housing shortage, huh?
Yeah.
Well, there's the box, Mrs. Donald. See, it's got your name and address on it.
But I haven't the slightest idea what's in it or who left it here.
This sounds awful screwy to me.
Yes, it does to me, too. Officer, open it and see what's inside.
Yeah, maybe I'd better. Thing's heavy as it looks.
The lid is loose, just tied down with ropes. Cut the rope, officer. Cut it.
Okay, but what are you acting scared about?
I don't know, but cut that rope quick. Now, lift the lid.
Sure. Holy! A man's inside. A dead man. He's been shot through the head.
Oh, it's Fred. My husband. Fred!
Well, then, Captain Logan, I took this girl, this Mrs. Donald, as she called herself, back here to the super's apartment where I got on the phone and called you Homicide Dixon. When I got through phoning, I couldn't find the girl. She scrammed out through a window.
No, letting an important murder witness get away isn't going to help your record, Costello.
Wait a minute. Don't blame the cop, Logan. He had no reason to figure the gal would take him powder.
When I want your advice, Casey, I'll ask for it.
Okay, pal.
She isn't such an important witness, Captain. There's hardly a thing that she could tell you that we don't already know.
And you keep out of this, Miss Williams. What did you just say?
Annie remarked that we could tell you a few things, pal.
You?
Mm-hmm.
Costello.
Yes, sir.
Report to your precinct station and stay on call for further orders from me.
Yes, sir.
And next time you meet a woman who identifies herself as Mrs. George something or other and then refers to her husband as Fred, you get suspicious and hang on to her no matter how good-looking she is.
Yes, sir.
Now get out of here.
Yes, sir.
Now, Casey, give. And you too, Miss Williams.
Oh, you're asking for our advice?
I'm demanding whatever information you have.
Well, he's entitled to it, Casey.
Yes, he really is, Annie, but at times he has such bad manners.
Will you cut the comedy? I'm in no mood for it.
Okay, well, in the first place, according to the witnesses, Mrs. George Donald could have had no part in the murder of her husband.
I know
now,
that.
Wait a minute. She was too crazy about the guy she married to do him any harm.
How do you know that?
Because we recognize the dead man in that box. It was Fred Lister.
Who and what was Fred Lister?
He was a small-time crook, Logan. Never mixed up with anything big enough to bring him in contact with you homicide guys. While he was alive, that is. Up to a couple of months ago, he was a kind of errand boy for Lucky Carson.
Well, I've come in contact with Lucky Carson plenty of times.
Not close enough to pin anything on him.
Now, go on. Tell me about this Fred Lister.
Well, he had the good taste and the bad judgment to fall for a gal that his boss liked.
Lucky?
Yeah.
A gal named Ella Hagen, hat check girl at the Silver Derby Club.
Both Ann and I knew her. She's a nice kid. Fred Lister became a nice guy after he met her. He left the mob, got an honest job, and he and Ella were married.
Casey was told that Lucky Carson was pretty sore about the whole thing.
I was also told that Fred and Ella had been tipped off, that they'd better pull a fade-out. Well, apparently they took the tip seriously. They were living in this joint under an assumed name.
But they didn't hide well enough when they did their fade-out.
You two think this Fred Lister was killed at Lucky Carson's order?
That's right. This job is just the sort that lousy rat would pull on a gal who'd thrown him down for another guy.
I'll issue a pickup order for Lucky Carson right away.
Then what?
We'll try to get something on him.
Optimist, aren't you?
That rat can't get away with murder forever, Casey. Come on, we'll go to headquarters and wait for him to be brought in.
I don't know why you're always picking on me, Captain Logan. It's time you got wise to yourselves and laid off.
I'll lay off after I'm able to prove something, Lucky, and you're out of circulation for keeps.
That statement implies the malicious persecution of my client, Captain Logan.
You keep out of this, Webster. And that's another thing. Of course, it was mere coincidence that your lawyer was with you when my men picked you up this morning.
Sure.
Purely coincidental, Captain. I happen to be spending the night at Mr. Carson's apartment.
And three others of my mob, my business associates, was with us.
Someday you'll slip up on one of those phony alibis. You should realize that, Webster, and stop playing with trouble. You've got more brains than Lucky and his kind.
Who says Webster's more brains than me?
You heard me say it, didn't you?
He's trying to get you sore, Lucky. Now, don't fall for it. Now, since you haven't a thing on my client, we'll be leaving here, Captain.
So long, Captain. Poor Fred Lister was a nice punk. I'll be sending a swell hunk of flowers to his funeral, and I hope you get whoever bumped him off. Only I doubt if you will.
Don't be too sure.
Okay. So long, Casey. And Miss Williams.
How lucky.
Yeah?
Hey, what's that thing on your watch chain? You've been rubbing your fingers over it ever since you came in here.
It's my luck piece, Casey.
Your luck piece?
Yeah. It's just an old Indian head penny with a hole bored in it. But I wouldn't sell it for $100,000. I found it on the street one day when I was a punk. It's brought me luck ever since. Look at me now.
Lucky thinks it's a reason for his success.
Well, for a long time now, I ain't been able to hire and fire brainy guys like you, and I mean I have.
Well, I wasn't saying that you weren't right about it.
Yeah. Let's get out of here. Open the door.
Oh, sure, Lucky, sure.
Get smart, Captain. Lay off me from now on.
Get out of here, both of you.
So long.
Those lousy rats. And there isn't a thing I can do to them.
That lawyer Webster's really worse than Lucky because he knows more.
Lucky doesn't like anyone to say that, Annie.
I noticed that.
I never knew about that Indian head penny before.
Well, nearly all crooks carry something they think brings them luck.
Doesn't look as though you'll pin Fred Lister's murder on Lucky, Captain.
No. From where we sit now, Miss Williams, there isn't a chance.
I don't agree with that, Logan.
Why not?
I'm going to have a talk with Fred Lister's wife.
With Lister's wife?
Yeah. I think I can find Ella through a close friend of hers, Annie.
Well, why haven't you said so before? You know I want to question that girl.
Questioning her won't get you anywhere, Logan. I want to tell her a few things.
Ruth Judson had no right to tell you I was hiding here in her apartment, Casey.
She knew I wanted to help you, Ella.
Nobody can help me. Fred's gone. I loved him, Casey. Now he's gone.
Yeah, you've had a rotten break, kid. I guess you've got an idea who killed him.
I know who killed him.
Lucky Carson?
Yes.
When you skipped out on that cop this morning, I figured you wanted to pay Lucky off personally, right?
That's my business.
You know, Ella, murder is murder, even if it happens to be Lucky Carson.
I have a plan to pay him off.
Well, I think I have a better plan to pay him off than you have.
What do you mean?
Well, Lucky considers himself quite a guy. He wouldn't be too much surprised if you paid him a visit, a social one. He's got a big yen for you.
Talk straight.
All right, Ella, I will. But don't tell me my idea's crazy until you've thought it over. Now, here's what I want you to do.
Not all glass is alike. In fact, there are almost as many different kinds of glass as there are flowers in your garden. Some glass is produced for fragile beauty, others for sturdiness. And Anchor Hocking, the world's largest maker of household glass, produces glass of all kinds. The particular glass we're going to talk to you about tonight is Fire King Oven Glass, which combines beauty and sturdiness to an unbelievable degree. Now, you use Fire King Oven Glass for baking and for serving. It's so impervious to heat that it's guaranteed for a full 2 years against oven breakage. And a special Fire King process makes its surfaces actually mirror smooth. Fire King Oven Glass won't absorb baking stains. It won't absorb baking odors. It comes clean miraculously. Now, big 2-quart Fire King Oven Glass casseroles, pie plates, mixing bowls, and utility dishes of all kinds are now available at your favorite chain, variety, hardware, and department stores. All at incredibly low prices. Fire King Oven Glass is a product of Anchor Hocking. The most famous name in glass.
All right, there's the first portion of KC Crime Photographer with The Box of Death, starring Stotts Cotsworth. More after these words. All right, we're going to take a break for news at 1:30. When we come back, it's the conclusion to KC Crime Photographer.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, we're tuning in to KC Crime Photographer Stotts Cotsworth. That's a mouthful, Stotts Cotsworth.
You're a handful.
Is the star of this. And the episode is called The Box of Death from April 17th, 1947. The conclusion now to KC Crime Photographer.
Who did you say was to see me, Slug?
That Dame Ella, who was married to that punk Lister till night before last.
Show her in.
No, okay. No, wait, Slug.
What's eating you, Webster?
Are you nuts, Lucky? That dame came to your apartment before her husband's even buried for just one thing. You.
She knows now that I don't stand for no crossing up. And dames go for guys who taught them a lesson.
Some dames don't, and this Ella...
Hannah, looks... I'm no dope. Bring her in, Slug. But don't take your eyes off her. If she pulls a phony move, you know what to do.
Yeah, okay, Lucky.
You get behind that screen, Webb, and watch her.
Oh, so, I'm not one of your bodyguards.
You better be if this babe tries a fast one. You carry a rod, get back of that screen and keep it ready.
Well, okay.
Not that I expect any trouble.
Here's the dame, boss.
Hello, Lucky.
Ella, this is both a surprise and a pleasure.
Of course you know about Fred.
Yeah, and I'm awful sorry. I hope you didn't pay no attention to what the papers hinted, that I had something to do with his killing. They had to admit that the cops turned me loose right after they picked me up.
I read the papers.
Wait till you see the big floral piece I'm having sent to the undertakers for poor Freddy. It's a Poily Gates ajar, Ella, done in gardenias and white roses. It'll set me back over a grand. It'll show what I thought of your husband.
I realize what you thought of him, Lucky.
Now look here, babe.
Don't try to kid me, and I won't try to kid you. I made a big mistake when I married Fred. You've proven that to me. Now I've learned my lesson, and do I have to be afraid of you, Lucky?
You afraid of me?
I had to come here today to find out. You won't hurt me, will you? You won't hurt me.
Ella, honey, you ought to know I wouldn't. Here, sit down on this sofa. Put your head on my shoulder and have a good cry. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, Lucky, I've been so afraid.
Ah, forget it, kid. Why, I wouldn't let no one hide a hair of your head. All I want is we should be pals.
I consider that a great privilege.
Yeah. How about a kiss, huh? To make it a contract?
No. No, not now. Not till after Fred is put away.
Oh, I appreciate your sentiments. They show you ain't no common bimbo, Ella. But we'll get together after the funeral, huh? For dinner, here, tomorrow night. Okay?
Okay. I've got to go now.
So soon?
Well, it wouldn't look right if I stayed any longer now. Besides, you've given me what I came for. Your friendship. Thanks.
The pleasure's gonna be all mine.
Not altogether, Lucky. So long.
Show the lady out, Slug.
Sure thing.
We're making an early dinner, babe. 7 o'clock. As soon as you can ditch the pallbearers.
You can expect me. Goodbye.
Bye. You can come out now, Webb.
Oh, thanks.
Well, she didn't try no fast ones, did she?
No, you were right. I was wrong.
That's the way it usually is.
Thanks, comp, boss. I sure gotta hand it to you.
I get what I want, Slug. If not one way, I get it another. Webb.
Yeah?
Run over to my caterer's joint and tell him to fix up 2 dinners for tomorrow night. And be sure he has crepe Suzettis. They'll be appropriate for after the funeral. Get going.
See here. I'm your lawyer.
You're whatever I tell you to be. On your way.
All right, as soon as I get my coat.
Boy, I sure envy you, boss. It'll be nice having that cute little chick all alone. You was born lucky.
No, I wasn't born that way, Slug. I was always unlucky, till one day I found this, It's gone.
Huh?
My penny. My Indian head penny.
Penny.
And my luck piece. Look for it, Webb. You too, Slug.
Okay.
It must have fallen on the floor. I know it was hanging on my watch chain just a few minutes ago.
Well, I don't see it.
Look for it, you dopes!
Well,
I was rubbing my fingers on it for luck when Ella come in. So I'm sure I... Ella.
What's the matter now?
She took it. Stole it. That dirty little double crosser. Wait till I get her with my lucky penny. Come on. We're going after her.
Look out, boss!
He tripped over that footstool.
Yeah. His head hit that piano like...
Is that cold?
Flat on his puss.
Yeah, flat on his puss.
Gee, I never knew Lucky to meet with an accident before. Hey, it's funny, ain't it?
Don't let him hear you laughing when he comes to.
I ain't laughing. I mean, it's funny him taking a nosedive right after he lost his lucky penny.
Yes, Slug, it is funny. Wonder what he'll think about it when he comes to.
Casey, you were telling me about sending that gal Ella to Lucky Carson's apartment this afternoon.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd nearly finished, Ethelbert.
Yeah.
Well, she clipped the luck piece off his watch chain, and I was waiting for her outside in my car, and she got in. I took her back to her hideout, and that's all there was to it.
You figure losing that engine head penny's gonna bother Lucky a lot?
I think it'll do a lot more than bother him, Ethelbert. He's a dumb guy and a superstitious guy. The loss of that luck piece will drive him haywire.
Mm-hmm. And when a crook in Lucky Carson's position doesn't watch every step he takes, well, he only has to make one mistake, Ethelbert.
Yeah, which the cops will be watching for like a bunch of hawks.
Captain Logan knows about your scheme, huh?
Oh, sure, yeah. He's giving Ella Lister plenty of police protection, too.
You've told him where she's hiding out?
Naturally.
Well, Lucky's pretty sure to figure that she took that penny, and he'll try to get it back.
Tomorrow, he'll be tipped off to her hideout, accidentally, on purpose. And then, unless I'm completely wrong, he'll make his mistake.
Say, what's she done with the penny, Casey?
I have it. Ella hates Lucky so much, she didn't want anything around that belonged to him.
Let me see the thing.
There it is. Yeah, it's just an old penny with a hole in it.
Hmm. You think it's really Lucky?
Of course not.
How could it be?
Luck's mostly a matter of belief, pal. Self-confidence, I guess. You got it or you haven't got it.
I don't know about that. I'll give you a buck for this penny, Casey.
A buck? Look, if you want the thing, I'll give it to you, Ethelbert.
You will?
Well, sure, it's yours, here.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, but don't let Lucky Carson know you've got it. You might find yourself in a spot.
Oh, I won't let nobody know I've got it, except you, of course.
Okay. Well, come on, Annie. It's getting kind of late. I'll drive you home.
Okay, I could do with a little sleep.
Yeah. Well, good night, Ethelbert.
Night, Casey. Night, Miss Wim.
Night, Ethelbert.
Mm-hmm. Where'd I leave the car, Annie?
Across the street, dope.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Boy, I'm tired, huh?
Hello, oh. Casey.
Lucky.
Evening, Miss Williams.
Hello.
I want you two should meet one of my boys.
This is Big Slug.
How are you?
I'm okay.
You already know Webster.
Yeah, nice to see you two again.
So nice, we're keeping you with us for a while.
You're keeping us with you?
Their hands in their pockets, Annie. They've got guns on us.
That's right. We're all getting into this car here, like old friends. You first, Slug. Casey next.
Hey, what's the big idea?
We'll talk about that later. Get in.
Okay.
You too, Miss Williams.
Well, I guess I haven't much choice.
You haven't. You drive, Webster. I'll sit in back with Slug and our friends.
Hey, no, I'm a chauffeur.
Get going.
Okay.
Where are we going?
To keep you from asking so many questions, Casey.
Here. Hit him with that gun.
Give this babe the same, Slug.
Sure. Well, they're both out nice, boss.
Head for the country, Web. When we get to a dark, deserted road, I'm going to have some fun.
This mug's finally coming too, boss. You put real stuff behind that crack on the head you give him.
Casey, I thought for a while he killed you.
I wouldn't do that, Miss Williams. Yet. You feel good enough to talk now, Casey?
Does that talk, Lucky?
Yeah. Where's my lucky penny?
We don't know anything about a penny.
Can it, Casey? I know you put Ella Logan up to stealing it.
Lucky discovered his loss right after Ella left this afternoon. He's about to go after her when he had a little accident.
Never mind about that. Accidents can happen to anybody.
Sure, Lucky, sure. Anyway, I had the foresight to go to a window and see Ella leave the building and get into a car. And you, Casey, were driving that car.
After that, it was easy to add things up.
Very easy. I know you, Casey, and I told Lucky.
I'd have figured it if you hadn't told me, Webb. Casey, you had that dame steal my luck piece because you knew I'd go after it. And when I went after it, the cops were going to be around watching when I started to twist Ella's double-crossing neck. But I'm too smart for guys like you. I was waiting for you when you come out of the Blue Note Cafe. And here you are. Now. Where's my penny?
I don't know.
No?
No.
You'd better come clean.
You've already searched him. You know he hasn't got it.
He can tell me where it is and how to get it.
I think... I mean, Lucky thinks that Ella wouldn't keep anything to belong to him because, well, for some unaccountable reason, she doesn't like him.
That's right, Webb. Hey, this is a nice, lonely spot. Stop the car.
Okay.
Casey, I'm gonna make you tell me where and how to get back my luck piece. Pull him out of the car, Slug.
Come on, Jay. Come on.
Casey, they'll torture you. I got to.
No, no. Keep quiet, Ann.
Big Slug here will break every bone in your body, Casey. Slowly. If you don't come...
I can't tell you anything I don't know. Big Slug's an awful sap if he does anything for a boss who's lost his luck.
Go to work on him, Slug.
Wait. Listen to me, Slug. And you too, Webster. You guys have got brains. You taking orders from this dumbbell... Orders that may land you in the hot seat all because he's lost the penny?
Hit him, Slug. Hit him.
No, don't hit him.
Webster!
Talk, Casey. Webb and me are listening.
Slug!
I knew you guys had sense. This jerk you worked for is washed up. All he ever had to keep him on top was a lousy copper luck piece, and he's lost it. He's sunk. He's through.
That's a cockeyed lie.
Slug and Webster don't think so, Carson. You're not lucky, Carson, anymore.
Cut it.
They're not saps enough to go through with your plan. They know every cop and every newspaper in town would go after our murderers and keep after them until they were caught.
I've stood enough of this. You can't turn my guys against me, Casey. I'll show you.
Webster.
You shot him. Just as you're going to shoot Casey.
Yes, Miss Williams.
Thanks, fella. You won't regret that.
I'm sure I won't, Casey. I wanted to kill Lucky Carson for a long time. And this afternoon, Slug agreed that it was a nice idea.
Yeah, a swell idea.
Oh, gee, thanks. Thanks for saving our lives.
Oh, don't thank us yet, Miss Williams. Or you, Casey.
Why not?
Tell him, Webb.
You and Miss Williams would prove awkward witnesses if Slug and I were brought to trial. Remember, I'm really a lawyer.
You...
I mean to become boss of the former Lucky Carson mob.
Yeah, and when your dead bodies are found close to Lucky's, why, the cops will figure he shot you and you shot him.
That's right, Slug. You see, Casey and Miss Williams... We're going to kill you with a gun Lucky didn't have a chance to use. And then return the gun to his dead hand. The gun I shot him with will be found close to you. You get it?
You shot him and he shot you.
Yeah, we get it.
Oh, Casey.
No. Don't see any way out of this one, kid.
There isn't any way out. Pick up Lucky's gun, Slug, and do the job.
Oh, you thought up this swell idea, Webb. It's your right to do it.
Well, I don't mind. First, I'll put this gun that I shot Lucky with near Casey so that it will look as if he dropped it. Yeah. Just right about here. Now, you keep him covered, Slug, while I get Lucky's gun.
No, you don't, Webb.
Slug, what goes?
You're the smart guy, Webb, but I'm smarter. I'm gonna be the boss of this mob.
No, don't shoot, Slug. Don't shoot. No.
Well, he's done for. Now, lady and Casey, I'm...
Webster dropped his gun too close to me, Slug.
Casey, did you kill him, Casey?
Did I kill him?
I hope not, Annie.
Hey, look, will you and see? I never shot a guy before.
You didn't kill that big slug guy, huh, Casey?
No, Ethelbert, he'll live.
Until he goes to the chair for killing Webster.
And Webster killed Lucky Carson. The gang's washed up.
That's right.
But not quite the way Mr. Casey figured on washing it up.
Well, okay, Annie, rub it in. I can take it. But I wasn't wrong about one thing, that Indian head Penny. If I hadn't put Ella up to taking it, Lucky and his mob might still be doing business, don't forget.
You were wrong about that engine head Penny itself, though.
What do you mean?
Huh?
Miss Williams, less than half an hour after Casey gimme that thing, I got a phone call telling me I'd won a $25 silk hat on a ticket I bought for 50 cents.
Casey!
Silk? You're like my sister Edna says, quote, even a penny can go to your head. The unquote.
Crime Photographer, starring Stotts Cotsworth as Casey, is brought to you each Thursday by the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation, makers of Fire King Oven Glass, Anchor Glass Containers, Anchor Caps and Closures, all products of Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. Crime Photographer is directed by John Deese. The original music is by Archie Blyer, and the program features Miss Jan Miner as Anne and John Gibson as Ethelbert. Herman Chittison is the Blue Note pianist. Thursday night on CBS is the biggest show in town, so stay tuned for exciting dramatizations on Reader's Digest Radio Edition, which follows immediately over most of these stations. No one is safe from cancer. It strikes young and old, rich and poor alike. Help bring this vicious killer under control. Give to the American Cancer Society's Drive for Funds. This is Tony Marvin saying goodnight for the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, with offices in all principal cities of the United States and Canada. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's Casey Crime Photographer with The Box of Death from April 17th, 1947. Stotts Cotsworth, along with Jan Miner in the cast there. Anchor Hawking Glass. Yes, they're still around.
Which is, yes, I've seen it recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's heard on CBS. Hope you enjoyed that.